Man, this girl, she manages these beehives. She sent me this video saying it's like she squeezed out the bee's dick.
Yeah. Got the wax.
Well, no, like it's dick.
Oh, she but pushed
like,
it out.
It's like that big. It's like bigger than the bee. It's
bizarre. Whoa, dude.
She pushed it out.
Is it like it's telescoping or something?
She pushed on the prostate.
Collapsible, I guess. So, yeah. Bizarre.
Whoa.
It's like a cup you take camping with you.
Exactly.
Is that flirting? Is that flirting if you're a beekeeper, though?
Oh, she
like, check out this bee's dick.
Oh, it's dead.
Right.
They're pretty fragile.
He meant flirting with me, not flirting with
yeah.
the bee.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, she thinks he's the kind of guy that like to see animals be tortured.
Sort of like a dick pic.
Yeah.
I mean,
wow. Except a bee. It's like exactly what it is. Wow. Unsolicited dick pic. Dick pic.
I guess that's what it is. I didn't think about it.
Well, it's first time for everything.
Yeah.
All right, I'm not going to play this copyrighted music.
Okay.
But do you have music in your thing?
Sorry, go ahead.
Your thingamabobber? No copyrights. Check this out. We can do it for as long as we want. Who cares? We made it. Nobody can sue us. We can sue us. You can sue me.
You should sure.
Jeff. No, Jeff made
each other.
Ooh.
We should all sue each other for the same amount.
Yes. We all win and then be like, all right, we're good.
That's how that works.
Is this not?
The judge says, I think you all win. We're like, cool. You got to pay him $5,000 and you got to pay him $5,000.
Woo, we just had fun at court for free.
Class action off.
Against all of us.
Against ourselves.
Sounds like a good plan.
I think that's a good entrance. Jesus. Welcome back to Candy Teeth Radio. We're here with CJ Boyd as the guest today.
Yes.
I just realized there's a gun pointing right at me.
Yeah, it's aimed at you. You see that? And I'm off on the side, like kind of leaning back.
Who is that guy? Who's
that's Jeff. That's Jeff Wee. Yeah. Let's move this gun. I set him up there earlier.
But you know, what he does when I'm not around, I can't really.
When I go to sleep, he starts doing stuff. So we're talking about Jeff's little puppet. He's holding the gun, and I set him up there, but then he aimed it at CJ's.
Not cool, Jeff.
Not cool, Jeff.
Just never even think of you as a gun guy, and that's a big one.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, go for it, go big, right? Get a cannon.
So we got, who else we got in here? We got Jeff always. Mm-hmm. We got Horacio.
Let's go.
So you've been on the show a bunch of times, but I'm still going to recap.
Yeah.
And be like, you're a musician, a badass musician that travels for a living.
Every day.
Travels for a life.
Not every day. Most days.
Yeah.
I didn't travel today.
How many years has it been? It was 8 years in the first episode or something that we talked to you. So it's more than that.
I just hit my 10-year anniversary.
Wow, dude. In
March. Yep.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Yeah.
10 years, dude.
Whew. Yeah. I just started a podcast. I don't think I told you this.
Ooh, no.
I mean, really? I haven't started broadcasting yet, but I just started
recording.
Yeah, collecting stories.
That would be such an interesting one. Just traveling around and just sucking up stories.
Well, it's more specific than that.
Okay.
But that is sort of the vibe though. I'm doing it all, you know, in different locations, like everyone's at a different place.
Right.
Traveling. But it's called, now this feels like like I'm doing a commercial. Like,
do it.
Give us your pitch, CJ.
It's not even the out.
You need yet. Music?
I know Jeff's got it.
That Shark Tank music.
It's called Worst Show Ever. And I just talked to other musicians about the shittiest shows.
Oh.
The worst shows that they played.
Oh, that's so good. I want to hear it all.
Yeah. I've got some good ones already.
That's such a good
but
idea.
But I've been finishing up this album that's taken me a long time. And I said, no, you can't start another project to finish this project. Like,
uh-huh. It's one of those.
You can't get your pudding if you don't eat your meat. but I couldn't help. So right now, I sort of let myself start in that I'm just recording stories. Because I figure, well, I'll be done pretty soon. And then I'm not usually in a place for more than like once a year. So sometimes a little more, but not very often.
Right.
So I figure there's certain people I do really want to get a story off them. So I better do it now or else it'd be another year before. So I kind of made myself or let myself sort of cheat a little bit and start. But I'm sort of like, I still don't know really very much about podcasts, to be honest. I've listened to podcasts here and there, but I've never been like somebody who has like podcasts that I listen to regularly.
Yeah.
And so it's a bit silly in a way, because it's like somebody being like, oh, I could be a musician. I don't know anything about music, but I could probably do that. And like,
yeah. But I always feel both ways about that right there.
Yeah.
Like I feel like, yeah, do it.
Yeah.
And then I feel like, no, what are you doing? I've been doing this for 20 years. Right, and now you're doing it. And like getting better stuff out of it. I'll murder you. Yeah. I mean, well, that's me.
Well, I appreciate not murder.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've just been collecting stories last like 2 months or so.
What's what? Can you share one of yours?
One of my worst shows ever?
Yeah.
Sure. Uh-huh. Now this is, I don't know if you get into this. I'm asking for professional advice.
Yeah.
But I mean, so one thing that's funny about it is each one is me talking to another person. And I'm the only consistent person. So I usually let them do most of the talking. And I sort of just ask questions or make comments to kind of like move things along.
Lead it.
But still, if it does end up me talking, I start to be like, man, I already tell the story on here.
Like, yeah. Oh, but it doesn't matter. I've thought about this.
Okay.
Because I do that too.
I feel like it would matter to me. But I try to always, I mean, as a musician and now.
Keep it fresh.
Well, I try to think of like, if I was an audience member, would I want to listen to that? You know, and I. Right. And I just think, well, I wouldn't want to hear me tell the same. I mean, my dad was like that. My dad would tell the like, same story every single time I saw him. And just, you know, he would have like trigger words where, I mean, a lot of people are like this.
That would start that
like,
story.
You said Chicago.
Yeah.
There was a story about this lightning storm he saw in Chicago when he was on tour with this band Jellyfish. And he was like in the corner of the hotel and this whole thing. And all the details are the same.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good. He wasn't lying, I guess.
Right.
But I feel like as it is, I'm always a little bit worried about that. That just, you know, that chip on your shoulder. Don't want to be too much like your dad kind of.
Yes. Story.
Uh-huh. But then I'm like, oh, but I'm recording it. So like, it's not just that I might tell the same story, but there's a record of it.
Yeah,
there's a document. Like, this guy said the same story
over and
five
over.
Times.
Listen. Like, oh, and we don't know what's going to happen next.
Right.
Yeah. But if I thought about that, cause I forget
right.
what I say after you wouldn't be able to remember it. If you did it as enough to make it a podcast that goes,
right,
then you're not, it's so much content
right
that it turns into where you don't care though, because it just turns into talking and not as much making a show, you know, like thinking about
right,
a show
right.
Because you get to where you can just make a show when you're talking. I thought about people that I look up to, like Adam Carolla.
Yeah,
is a person I look up to.
Yeah,
and he does that. He would do that because people would ask him to tell the story.
Right.
At a certain point, you know, and he'd be like, no, you know, like I've said it so many times on this right. and like everybody knows his whole life now
right,
from how long he's been on the air.
Right.
And, but he would just tell the story. And I loved hearing the story again.
Okay.
Of him fighting the dude at the party, you know, okay. and like, or right, something, right. you know, like I want to watch that episode again.
Right.
Like,
right,
I want
right.
to see that rerun.
Ooh, this is a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. You sit back like, I know this, but let's hear it again.
Let's hear it again. And if it's a good story, I mean, it can get repeated more than once. But so you were asking about my worst, and I feel like the other thing is there's two shows that I usually think of as the worst shows that I've played.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of the ones on mine, which one I know I've told one of them at least twice. And I'm trying to remember if I've told the other one, but I can't remember. So I'm going to tell that one.
Okay.
That I maybe haven't told yet. But anyway, your listeners will hear it before my listeners will.
Yeah.
Because I haven't even started yet.
Right. But then it'll be two different people.
Yeah. And then you can sue me.
Yeah.
First.
I'll be like, we had the story.
We had the story first, man. So I played a show in Jackson, Tennessee,
okay.
Which is, that's on me.
I booked it.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, really, it was one of those things. This was a long time ago. This is like before Facebook, before MySpace. Uh-huh. And I really only had a handful of contacts to play shows. And I was living in Nashville at the time. It was probably like 2003, I would guess. And I got a show booked in New Orleans. I think I had a few more like in the South. I had like some, this is like classic early tour where you have these massive drives in between places. So you're just trying to fill some of the spots in between.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you can break it up.
Yeah. I think I was trying to play like Little Rock or Memphis or something and it didn't work out. And then I was like, okay, my first show on this tour is in New Orleans from Nashville. That's a long ass drive. And then I got in touch with this place. I can't remember what it was called. But it was in the back of like a strip mall, like a Sears or a JCPenney's or something.
Wow.
Like it was weird. And honestly, at that time, I didn't know a lot about DIY culture. Like, you know, it's I live and breathe.
Yeah,
I live out of a van nowadays. But in those days, like, I had played shows, you know, at coffee shops and at bars, mm-hmm. occasionally restaurants or galleries, but I didn't really. I did some house shows, but like I hadn't got deep into like the DIY ethos that is out there.
Like playing some crazy venue.
Yeah, like that was one of my favorite things. Yeah. Just play someplace that was clearly never intended to have shows in it.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, it's like when you see like a flower growing through the sidewalk and you're like, fuck yeah, you did it, flower. Like,
yeah, you're a badass.
That's not what's supposed to be there, but it's better than what's supposed to be there. Uh-huh. I love going, you know, I've played shows in like skating rinks and like abandoned skating rinks and
right.
churches and stuff where like none of this was supposed to go on here,
but oh my God.
We got plans for it. Anyway, so I was stoked when I got there. I was like, this is a JCPenney. Like, this is a department store, and cool. It's just like the back, like the loading dock of like a JCPenney's, and they were doing shows in there.
It's like perfect.
Yeah, it was punk as fuck, and yeah. I was just like, okay, this is cool. Plus, at the time, I was probably like 3, 24, something like that, and everybody who was running was like, yeah, like 19, 20 years old, and I just hadn't, it seemed super put together for that. I was like, man, these kids are running this venue.
Right.
There was, I remember this woman named, I think her name was Ginger. And I can't remember. She was running the door and she was the one who I had booked it with. And then there was a guy that was running sound. And then there was another guy who introduced himself as the bouncer. I thought that was weird. Because it's like a little punk club, like in the back of a JCPenney. It does not need a bouncer.
Yeah, that is weird.
And I'm like, that's strange, but all right, okay, you're the bouncer.
All right, you're the bouncer.
But anyway, when I was booking the show, like,
can you explain real quick, like booking the shows, that the way you do it back then, especially, is you would just cold call.
I'm trying to think how I even got. I think, man, I can't remember for sure.
Yeah,
I want to say I must have just known some other band that played there.
Gotcha.
Right. But I don't really remember because I'm trying to think. In those days, too, I would use DoDIY.org, which is an awesome resource that my buddy Neil Campbell runs. And he just has like an online database of all kinds of DIY venues.
Yeah.
But I don't remember if that was around then. I think it was, but I feel like I'm not totally sure.
Right.
2004 is when MySpace hit, and that's when like things change in a major way if you were trying to book your own shows.
Yeah.
You don't really have the context. Because I feel like that's when, I mean, especially there was a minute where MySpace had like a search function where you could just put in certain keywords. And so if you put in like Philip Glass and then searched in Salt Lake City, you would get all the bands that describe themselves as either being influenced by or sounding like Philip Glass. And so I would put obscure shit like that in.
Yeah.
And be like, well, okay, there's hundreds of bands out there, but I want to play with something that, and I would just say, you know, at the time I was like, you know, Godspeed Black Emperor, Terry Riley, something like that, that was like not a rock band, but was like either like some post-rock stuff or some more like minimalist classical influence.
So were you just stoked? When you figured that out? Like, well, that's a saying, huge thing.
That was huge. It was huge. And I mean, I really started touring in a serious way after that.
Like, right.
When MySpace kind of made it.
Yeah, because you just had that network.
Before that, I would tour, and it was like traveling around and just calling coffee shops and asking if I could play there.
Right.
And meaning there would be no promotion. There'd be usually no locals. It just was like, will you allow me to set up my stuff and slightly annoy your customers
for sure,
not come there for music, but they came there to do their homework or like on a date or something else.
Yeah.
Like, and hope that maybe a few people there are into it and will like tip me or buy a CD. That was it. When I first started touring, that's all I knew how to do. So I mean, it wasn't feasible or like financially.
It wasn't balanced out.
At all. It wasn't sustainable.
Yeah, sustainable. Right. That's the
So with that, I'm jumping around. But so then when I booked the show, or when I contacted them about playing, they're like, well, we already have a show that week. We can only do like one show a week. So, or something like that. I don't remember if it was like 2 weeks a week. And I was like, okay, well, they're like, but we have a show on this day. If you want to do this day, you can add it to the bill. And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. I can do that.
So you have to stick around.
Well, no, it was like the day before, the day after I was shooting for, but it was still worked for my schedule.
Cool.
Right.
So I think it was even maybe the day after, because I think it meant like, okay, well, I could do it, but then I have to drive, like, I have to be in New Orleans the next day. So I'll probably have to drive some that night, like sleep somewhere, and then try to do the rest of the drive the next day. She told me, she's like, I don't know if you want to do this. Like, it was like two hardcore bands and two like death metal bands.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what's happening. We could add you, but I just want to be clear, it's not a good match. I'm just said you need a show, and if you want a show, I could do it, but it's probably not the best.
Yeah.
Maybe you should just do another time. And I was like, no, I'll do it.
Yeah.
That's what I said. You know, that's on me. I feel like every now and again.
You were like duly warned.
Yeah, she totally warned me.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, she did her job. Right? But I was, you know, I just didn't know how to book shows that much. So I was like, but I've got somebody on the line who wants to do it. So I'll just do it.
Yeah.
Right. That's generally
I understand. It's like, all right, I did a bunch of stuff like that.
But so, and really that wasn't a problem. Like, it wasn't ideal, but it wasn't like, you know, I like some hardcore bands. I like metal bands. That's whatever. And
yeah. And
honestly, some of the people at the show, metalheads and stuff, were stoked about my performance. That part was fine. And in general, I'm used to the fact that like the stuff that I do doesn't fit in a particular genre. And so I'm usually the oddball. Like that part's
fun. You got that, yeah.
So the thing is, I get there, I'm stoked about this weird JCPenney vibe and everything. That's cool. And I think I hang out for the five. They put me right in the middle. So it was like, two hardcore bands, checking them out. Everything's cool. I'm definitely feeling like, I don't know if people are gonna stick around for my set, but what are you going to do? Like,
yeah.
You just do it.
I'm already here.
Yeah. I'm here. I'm going to do my thing and see if people dig it. But so then this is where...
I'm getting nervous.
Okay. So I'm playing. And I'll tell you, because you guys are dorks, man, you can appreciate. The time I was into a lot of really like math rock. Mm-hmm. Like I was into a lot of progressive stuff. And I had this song. I don't even remember what it was called, but it sort of alternated between like 5'8" and 6'8" Okay. And it was just nerdy, you know, yeah. Just like ding 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 ding
ding ding ding ding ding ding. You knew I was he.
I'll just, oh yeah, it's pretty close. But you know what I mean? I had this song that it was a weird year. In the middle of the song, I've got my eyes shut,
yeah,
as I'm about to do. I'm in the little zone. I'm not thinking about JCPenney or hardcore bands. I'm just like in it.
Yeah. Know? Yeah.
And this guy comes up and is going, "Hey, dude. Hey, dude." So my eyes, why is someone talking to me?
That's
not what you do when someone's playing. And he goes, and it's the bouncer.
Oh, shit.
The bouncer is wasted. And I don't know if he was like just drunk or on drugs or what, but he's clearly like not well. And he's like, do you mind if I play drums?
Oh.
And so keep in mind, I'm in the middle, so the next band is already backlined. All their stuff's
on. Right, there's stage. Drums back there.
Oh, no.
Drum set behind me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God. And my thought, he's saying, do you mind if I play drums?
Yeah, whatever, dude. The answer is
yes, I do mind.
Yeah.
But I don't want the words yes to come out of my mouth talking to this guy who's clearly not in his right mind anyway. So I'm like.
And he already let you know he's the bouncer.
Right.
And so that's kind of a threat.
Let me know that he's not thinking straight because he's talking to me in the middle of my set. Like, not between songs, but in the middle of a song.
With your eyes shut.
With my eyes shut.
My favorite.
He needed to interrupt me to ask if I mind if you.
Dude, take your headphones out. I got to talk to you for a second.
Well, because then you also got to think of like the other people at the spot that know him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And they're like sitting back there watching your set or whatever. And they're just like, there goes Randy or whatever.
Yeah. He's going to bounce him, dude.
They're like, dude, is he going to talk to that guy? He's going to talk to that guy.
What?
Dude. Oh, my God.
He's going to walk right up to him. He's going to walk right up to him.
Oh, he's talking to that dude. Randy. Shut up.
I wish somebody had yelled Randy at that
point. Yeah, but nobody did.
Nobody yelled at Randy. And so I thought about it for a second. I'm annoyed because I'm having to think about it while playing, but I'm like, do not play drums. Yeah. I was like, I didn't say no. I didn't say yes, I mind. I said, do not play drums. And I'm shaking my head and I say it like a couple times. Do not play drums. Do not play drums. And he looks bummed,
really?
But I'm like, okay, cool. We're good.
He understood because he's bummed.
Yeah.
So yeah, obviously understood.
So I go back into my zone. Next thing I hear is someone getting on stage behind me and sitting down at the fucking drum set.
Oh my God.
And God love him. We're just going to call him Randy. I don't remember what his name is, but I liked that you threw out Randy.
Okay.
We'll just keep it Randy. Randy starts just killing this four on the floor butt rock beat. Just no relationship whatsoever to what I'm doing.
It just starts playing.
Just going for it. Does not care what I'm doing at all. Now, granted, even if he'd come in like some perfect YYZ, like prog rock stuff, I would have been like, dude, what are you doing?
Right.
I said, no.
Plus, that's not even my drum kit for you to use.
Yeah.
It's not
okay. But it wasn't that. It was just playing loud and obnoxious right over, just like a steamroller.
Like he's just the guy in the practice room next to you.
Right. It was very much like that. So I stopped. I was like, it took me a second to register. And then it was like, I just stopped. I was like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? And Randy got sad.
Randy,
just to be clear, he didn't bounce me or
anything. Yeah, no, he didn't get mad. Violent. He didn't get violent.
But I was straight up like, get the fuck off the stage. What are you doing? This is not your show.
He was busted.
This isn't for you. Like, dude, you've got other things to do, maybe. Watch the door. Do something else. Not this.
Watch the door.
And his response was, man, it needed drums. That's all he could muster, right? So like it, and I will say, in many shows that were not the worst show ever, people, there is this thing, and I say people, but I mean dudes.
Randy's.
Randy's of the world. Where people that just listen to rock and roll music think that everything should be guitar, bass, drums, and vocals. And that is what makes music.
Yeah.
If it doesn't have those things, then it's missing.
Yeah.
And people say stuff all the time that they don't even realize. They'll be like, oh yeah, it's a full band. And full means guitar, drums, bass, vocal. That's what full means.
Right.
It doesn't mean French horn, oboe, banjo, and synthesizer. Like, that's not what it means. It means those four things, and then if maybe something else in addition to those four things, like a keyboard or a
tambourine.
You know, and if it's post-rock, you get those four things, and then you add a cello. And like,
or three other guitar players.
Right, exactly. So this is a widespread, ridiculous belief that dudes who listen to rock and roll have, which is that it needs drums, it needs vocals, it needs guitar.
Uh-huh.
And here, this poor guy only has a bass.
Yeah, he's just up there.
He's just only up playing there naked. One quarter of a real thing.
Help from the rest of your band, dude.
Yeah.
Those jerks. Help you out, don't worry.
Yeah. And all the time, people, and in much more respectful ways than Randy there, but still are like, come up to me afterwards, like, hey, man, you need a guitarist? Like, I jam, you know? And I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm actually not looking for a guitarist.
I'm doing what I'm doing.
I'm doing my thing. But so Randy sulks away. I play a little bit more, but it definitely shook me. Again, I was probably like 23, 24.
Yeah.
Definitely never had that happen.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, so it was annoying, but it wasn't the worst in the world. It was shitty, but I play the rest. There's like at least one guy, maybe a couple of guys in the front of the stage who are super into it. Who are like apologizing on behalf of Randy.
Yeah.
Like locals who were just stoked on the show.
Right.
Right.
Didn't expect to see some solo bass weirdness there. Glad to get it.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
They're stoked. So then.
That's cool.
I listen to like the next band. And then it's getting to where I'm like, okay, I'm trying to hang out for the whole show. But like now the last band is playing. I just want to like check in with the door person, Ginger, and make sure that. Whatever tiny little bit of money there is that I can get something to go on. So I'm not like ready to leave yet. I'm just checking in to see because it's the last band.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember...
Traditionally, you stop charging admission at that point and it's time for the divide.
I mean, the thing is, I didn't see Ginger at the door. So right. I thought she must be done and maybe she's like counting the money or maybe she had to go do something real quick. And I should say earlier, it was pretty clear when I got there that like Ginger and the sound guy were together, like a couple.
Yeah.
And this is a thing that you're going to have to edit out, I guess. But I asked the sound guy, I'm like, oh, hey, man, you know where Ginger went? And he said, I don't know where that is.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what he said.
Wow.
Word.
Wow.
And I was not accustomed to hearing that kind of language. Yeah, especially if you're talking about his girlfriend, as far as I could tell. I mean, I could have been wrong, but that was the vibe.
Right.
And I was like, okay.
Cool.
I just, you know, I don't really, I'm not in between whatever is going on with God.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to get a little bit of money. Like, I'm probably going to make like $10, $15, honestly. It was like a small show.
What kind of C word is she? Like, where she doesn't pay people or?
So I'm like confused. Like, clearly something has happened during the course of the show because they were like, sweet to each other earlier that night, and now he's calling her bad names.
Yeah, to people he doesn't know.
Right, to just just had the bouncer interrupt his set. So, so I'm a little confused, and then I'm like, yeah, where is she though? This is like we're in the whole thing is situated in an alley, the back of a JCPenney. Like there isn't a lot to do. I don't know where she's at. So then...
But she's not like, well, you know, they had a problem in the kitchen. And
right. I mean, I'm looking at the whole...
You're looking at the deal.
And outside is just an alley. So I'm kind of confused. And then one of the guys who was into the set, who was just hanging out, like, says he'll help me find her. So we go looking for her. And we're, like, on and around. We split up at some point to cover more ground.
Wow.
You can't find
like Scooby Doo?
Like Scooby Doo. Eventually, the other guy finds her, comes and gets me. He's like, hey, man, I found her. She's laying in that field over there. She's high out of her mind. And I don't know anything. Honestly, I'm kind of dumb about drugs, so I don't know what
she's
on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she is blissed out. I mean, she's having a good time.
Yeah.
And not really checked into what
is happening in reality. Yeah.
And this is, at this point, the last band has finished. And the show is over, and she's in the field. And I'm like, cool. So, hey, Ginger, I just, was there some money? Can I have a little bit of that money? I got to drive to New Orleans now. She's like, oh, but this show's not over yet. Yeah, it is, though, actually. The last thing just finished, and I got a long drive. I really
I got to go. Ginger.
Give me. And I know it's not a lot, but I need it. Can you give it to me? And she's making up all these excuses, basically, because she doesn't want to get up, because she's probably like,
isn't money weird, man? Yeah. See how it's controlling you?
Yeah.
Just lay down in the field.
And this guy, I mean, this other guy, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was such a sweetheart. And he's like trying to help me. And we're sort of like, should we try to like
get her pocket?
No,
we didn't know what to do
in a field.
We thought we discussed like picking her up to like help her back to the But it wasn't just that she couldn't get up, like she didn't want to get up. So yeah, like, she's we're not gonna drag her against her. You know, if she just was having trouble, you know, we could give her like put her, you know,
well, cause,
her
I mean,
arm around us and we could bring her over.
Right.
But she wasn't incapable.
So, right.
She just doesn't want to go.
She just was having a good time.
So like right then is like when you're like halfway dragging her through this field back to the club is like when they're like, and she's like, stop it, leave me alone. And that's when the car pulls out the cop car and they shine the light on you and you're just like,
you got money.
And we're trying drugs and we just need the money.
You don't
that's right.
drag women against the will. That's a rule I live by.
One of the things. Yes.
I'm just saying we're trying to figure out what can we do. And she's just not moving. And I'm just like, man, I gotta go. Eventually, we convince her to get up because, like, everybody's leaving. And she does get up. And I think it was like, $15 or something.
Wow. And just worked for like 3 hours trying to get it after the show.
Yeah. And, you know, I will say, though, this is. I guess what's funny about now listening to all these other people's stories, I feel like that's not that bad. Mm-hmm. Like, it's funny in hindsight. Right. Mm-hmm. I've heard stories from people because of this podcast now that are horrific, where like it's never going to be funny. That's just a terrible thing that happened to you.
Oh,
I'm
no.
sorry. And, you know, I look at it now and I'm like, I kind of, at the time, I thought, okay, that's the worst show I ever played. And it was. I'm pretty sure it was. But again, I was like, and yeah, that's it. So then I drove for probably 3 or 4 hours and crashed somewhere and then woke up again in the morning and drove some more to go play a show in New Orleans.
Was it a more friendly place?
And I don't even remember where I played that time, honestly. I can't remember. It might have been, there was one time I saw Most Def at a show in New Orleans, which was weird.
That's cool.
He was just like checking out.
Yeah.
But I don't think that was the time. I think that was the different time. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Or not awesome.
Not super fun, but.
The most dead part.
Right? I like the acid great. Chick.
Yeah. You think it was acid?
I think it sounds like acid, yeah. Okay. But I don't know. What do I know? These kids these days.
Acid lasts all night. So I feel like you probably wouldn't have.
Oh, to get her to go?
To get her up?
No, because you get she up
just
on acid.
Bliss. She just seemed like.
That might have been some mushrooms.
That's what I would kind of guess, maybe in hindsight. Maybe. I definitely had never done mushrooms.
Yeah, no idea what she was doing.
I don't think I had smoked pot at that time. Like, I didn't mess with drugs as a kid.
What'd you do?
Played some bass, man.
Playing bass? I mean, you know.
That's, I had a good time. That's drugs, man.
But I didn't, I would like try a couple things just to sort of have the experience, but like not even.
You're like, what is going on with this girl?
Yeah, something's weird. And she's like saying things that aren't even true.
She won't get up. She won't give me my money. I have to go.
She's swatting at stuff.
Yeah. Well, going back to the dad thing, I'll say my dad was a serious pothead and did a lot of drugs in his day. I think that's part of what always turned me off to it.
You got that reversal on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was sort of like, my dad was kind of a deadbeat and drugs probably didn't help. I'm probably just going to steer clear of the whole
thing. That was a bad, looks like it was a bad deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like that for a while. And then I switched it all up. Went into it the same way that that dude.
Yeah.
The bad dad dude.
Bad dads.
Is that me doing some kind of noises?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it just going to be that?
Oh, there's just keep going.
Here's my phone. I'll stop it. I'll kill it.
Whoever's texting Jeremy 14 times right now, stop it.
It's like you don't even know we're recording.
I know.
Podcast. Who even knows, dude? They're like, whoa, how do you listen to that? It's like 5 years later, they're like, how do you listen to that? Like, I'm not telling you. You're not allowed to listen. So forget whatever all those texts are for now.
Okay.
Boom, boom, boom. So we've been doing. Well, you know what we should do right now? We got a new segment called.
I thought you turned your ringer off.
I thought I did too. Did you see me?
You did something.
You did something. Did you just turn
I think it? You just turned it up.
You turned it up is what it sounds like.
Bring the noise.
Jesus. There we go. I think.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
So, copy gold, though. I hope it doesn't happen. It didn't turn it off.
So the new segment is called Ding.
Yeah. I feel like I should have cussed there.
Right, that's what you're going to use that as later. He said, I don't know where that ding
you.
Is.
So we have a new segment called Since You've Been Here.
Right.
And it's like one of my favorites in this whole thing. And it's called Questions from the Weird Beard.
Oh,
okay.
And so there's this guy, right? Weird Beard, and he's like a good stalker. Good, you know, like goes and figures some stuff out.
Okay.
And then
wait, what? I don't know if I follow that. He's a weird. He's a stalker.
Well, he's like he'll go find out some questions for you.
He's a researcher. Oh. He does. He'll
like I tell him. I tell him who the guest is. I should not say stalker.
Yeah, stalker researcher.
Yeah, researcher, super researcher.
He stalks information.
Yeah, that's very different than stalking people.
Basically, he's our PI, and he looks you up, and then like reads about you, and then he has some questions for you.
Okay.
And so
I have a guess about how this might go. I'm really curious.
It's really unpredictable. So.
Okay. So.
Okay.
I don't know what that is. So he sends a video so you can see his mouth and the beard. And his beard. Like how it works.
Is his beard weirder than mine?
No, it's just, he's kind of weird. Okay. His mouth is weird. Because it's a little tiny mouth. I'll let you be the judge.
Okay.
If he has the right name or not.
Okay.
So here's the first question. He's only supposed to do one. He always does two. This is the deal.
On your Instagram and noticed that you were a talented glassblower.
Nope.
You got the glass. Oh, wait a minute. This is from last week.
Ding.
Oh, here's a new shirt.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that was a shirt.
Look at this, though.
That was the creamsicle plaid from last week.
Let's see what's up. What was up before that? Oh,
that's his mouth. That's
all right, let's go back to yours.
Yeah, know who he is.
He's just weird, dude.
All right, here's yours. Okay. Sorry about that.
We'll see if it's mine.
Hello, Candy Teeth Radio.
Hi.
Hello, Mr. Boyd.
That's me.
Looking back through the annals of musicianship, there have been many reasons to pursue a career in performing an intimate act on an instrument in front of a crowd of people. Many, from what I've gathered, are passionate about the very act of it, feeling it in their soul, etc., etc. Others' motives aren't as pure. Some see it as a tool. A tool used to curry favor with a preferred gender for the purposes of hugging and kissing. That is not to say you're amongst the latter, but inquiring minds would like to know what comprises the typical stand-up base group.
That's a pretty good question.
That is not the way I thought it was going to go.
No, you can't hit them really.
There was a lot in there. So he asked the question at the end, but I'm just trying to like take in
everything
that he said. Mm-hmm. Now, basically, he was setting up the fact that there are people who play music for impure reasons.
They learn guitar to meet girls.
Right. I was trying to...
For perks.
I was trying to think if it ever goes the other way. But yeah, it's
usually just the stereotype.
Yeah, the stereotype is that. So I have a couple thoughts about that. But the question... I'm gonna say some thoughts about it, and I will try to make sure to answer. This is something I was thinking about. I think about this a lot, and I was thinking about today. I was walking down 6th Avenue, and I saw some posters for some hip-hop dudes. I forget what the name of the band was. Oh, there was one. I have no idea what kind of music it plays. That was called, like, Joe Cool.
Okay.
And that poster was right next to this other, like, it looked like either a rapper and a DJ or two DJs. And all of them looked really cool. And I was thinking about how I was actually just talking about this on my show, which hasn't with a friend of mine in Seattle, about how when I first started playing music, I definitely wanted to be cool.
Right.
When I was like 14.
Yeah.
And that's understandable when you're 14. But now, like, I just saw this show in Vancouver. I saw it something. And as soon as they started, I was like, oh man, fuck this. And really, there wasn't anything wrong with their music, but they just looked like they were trying so hard to look cool.
Yeah.
And it just turns me off.
Yeah, you can just see it.
I just, like, I don't want anything with that.
Well, it just puts you in a negative headspace, and so everything that they do, and you're like,
psh. Yeah, it just looks like a gesture and not like a real
right.
Bill Hicks had that line about now everything you say is like a little turd in my drink. And that's how I feel about it. Like, you, if you come at it just immediately, and like, there's so many bands, again, if we're talking about like rock bands, hip hop, pop music, country music, most of the like major genre music now, most of what you're on the radio, somebody's trying to look cool, trying to look hot,
trying to look, sell the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. There's like a, and I hate that. I'm not interested in that shit at all.
Right.
Because it just fundamentally, it means you're not, I just don't think you can be true and cool at the same time. Like, there's
not all the time for sure,
but I just think that when I think of, like, there's a, I'm kind of rambling here, but there's this Saul Williams line, I'm trying to remember, he has a song Black Stacy, and I'm trying to remember the line, but it's basically,
share your essence with us, cause everything about you couldn't be rugged and rough. And even though you're told to block and you're hot in the street, if you dare to share your heart, we'll nod ahead to its beat. And you should do that, if nothing else to prove that a player like you can keep it honest and true. Don't mean to call your bluff up for love, but that's what I do. You got a platinum chain of son, I'm probably talking to you. And you can call your gang and posse and the rest of your crew. And while you're at it, get them addicts and the indigent too. I plan to have a whole army by the time that I'm through. Hello, they guns, the songs they haven't sung.
that's that, like, I think about that approach of like, look, if you share something real, if you share something true, and there's, I mean, I hope this goes without saying, mm-hmm. there's hip hop that does that better than anything.
Right.
Saul Williams, but if you do something real, you talk about some real shit, then whatever it is, whether it's emotional, whether it's like bad stuff that's happened to you, bad stuff you've done, good stuff you've done, whatever, but it's real. If it's coming from a place of actually trying to communicate with people, mm-hmm. I feel like fundamentally that's what music and art is good for. It's not just expressing something, but communicating something with other people who've had
the same experience
that they can connect to. And right. I say that even with my music, most of which is instrumental, mm-hmm. I love hearing, like, man, this is another tangent.
Yeah, we're here. We're here to talk. Let's like tangent it up.
Tangent bug cake. So I played this show in Vancouver, Cortez Island, little town, Cortez Island, BC, a couple weeks ago. And there was this woman right after the show, the way she described like what my music meant to her, she said something like, music sounds like what I think it feels like really are actually happening or something. And I was like, I mean, my first thought was, I don't know if it does, but it sounds like that's what you needed to hear, which is cool. And that's what's, I mean, I think that instrumental music and like music that tries to be very emotive, that's something that it can do, is sometimes just offer you a screen on which to project your own stuff.
Right.
And I love that. And I'm saying, like, there's most of my music, there's like a feeling I'm going for, but there's not like a specific thing that it's about necessarily. Sometimes there is, mm-hmm. but in some kind of cases, I'm just going for a feeling of something that I feel. Mm-hmm. And almost without fail, whenever someone else hears it and is moved by it, they're not thinking about what I've thought about.
Right. When you're making it. Yeah.
And that's not my job, is to let them know. If I want to let them know what I was thinking about, I just tell them.
But you add words. Yeah.
But yeah, but the music is really just to activate whatever is in them that needs to come out.
It's like being a mirror.
Right. So I feel like any music can do that. And there's music with words that does that for me. There's music without words that does that for me. You know, and certain songwriters, when they say something, you're like, oh my God, did you get in my head? How the hell? No, you don't know this about me. How do you know this? And I love that. I love that in painting and in plays, in films, and music, and any kind of art. And I think that's what it's for. I think really, if you're going to take up other people's time and get on a stage, put out a record, say, hey, I think you should stop what you're doing with this.
Right.
That is the minimum of what you owe people for their time. It's the possibility. Now, not everybody's into everything, but at least the possibility of somebody feeling, thinking something that they get from what you provide that means something to them. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think, when you're trying to just look cool, I don't think you're in a space to do that, honestly. Like, it would be accidental.
Yeah, you accidentally bumped into it.
Accidentally say something true or honest or meaningful. It happens. I mean, every now and again, I feel like some like, you know, rock band accidentally says something profound. You know, but
wow, where'd they come with that?
Right. Magnets, how do they work? You know,
sorry, I'm just teasing. I'm still on that one.
Yeah, it's still pretty good. But yeah, so that's, I guess that's my beef with coolness, is it gets in the way of that communication, that possibility of doing something for somebody.
A real connection.
Hopefully, why? Again, if you're 15, 14, mm-hmm. get a pass. Just try to look cool. you know? Yeah. Hopefully you do that for long enough to get good at your instrument, and then you can actually do something.
That's what it is with art, with everything. Yeah. And so much of it comes from that, like what he's talking about, where you're trying to get a chick, you know, or you're mad at a chick, or a chick, you know, or dude, or whatever.
Like that, what's that one movie with Robin Williams, Dead Poets Society?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where he's like, why do we, like, do this? Like, why are we poets?
To woo women.
But it's funny because you go past it. You go past that. You grow past that. Or I guess hopefully, like what you're saying.
Well, so now I'm going to try to get to the question. I'm trying to think what an upright-based groupie. I don't know if that's a thing.
I think it is.
But I'll tell you. Okay, so there's the two ways I can picture that. Again, is like, there's a way, then talking about accidents, right? Like, you can attract somebody because you're honest, because you made them feel something powerful. Mm-hmm. And if that happens, I wouldn't call that person a groupie.
Right.
I would, you know, I'm not in the market for groupies in general. But that, you know, that's one thing. And like, that happens sometimes where men and women, know, get moved and then are attracted to the person who moved them.
Right.
Because, and I've been on the other end of that plenty of times where I see somebody play the fuck out of a cello and be like, oh my God, I need to know that person, you know, you know, all the time. That happens, you know, it's beautiful. It's somebody plays, sings, like, something with your honesty, attention. There's that, but I feel like that's not what he's talking about.
No, I don't think that's what he's talking about.
Right. I mean, I think that's legit. But all I keep thinking of, this is what's been distracting me the whole time, is also my stepmother, who I loved to death.
Yeah.
She's got this knack. Her name's Ruth. She has this knack for saying things that are entirely inappropriate.
Yes.
And she's amazing at it.
Yes.
Talent, true talent. And sometimes she knows this. It's not an accident. She knows.
Yeah.
And she likes to embarrass her children and her children's friends whenever possible. And I don't remember if that was the context, but I think it was. But one time she came to a show of mine. And she said, after the show, she's like, oh, man, I always liked the bass players. I think there's something about those low frequencies just rumble your ovaries. And I don't really embarrass, but I did go, Ruth, could you not say that?
That's weird. Me
right now.
Stop talking about me rumbling your ovaries.
Yeah.
That's a little too far.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. But so now all I can think of is my stepmom.
Okay.
Bass groupie. I mean, I think she would self-describe as that, maybe. So that's, I think that's what it what you have to be a bass groupie, is my stepmom.
I'm going with that.
That's your final answer. I think that's it.
All right. That was awesome. I love it that the other, we just got such a good story and like thoughts all the way through that. And then the end is that question. It's the stepmom. So he does always ask too, though. So let's see what
follow up.
Did you see his mouth though?
Yeah, I saw that. Okay.
Has become my traditional illegal second question. Do you think it's fair for Mr. Gregory to criticize a lowly, underpaid contributor to this podcast for providing additional content, even for the paltry sum of 800 Jeremy bucks per question? Usually try to end with some helpful advice, but today I end with a plea. Stop Jeremy's attempt to cut my wages and question hours, so so that he can take me off of the candy teeth dental. I ask you listeners to help me stop the plight of the smallmouth
man. Wait a minute, we might turn this off.
By using the hashtag save the second question. That's hashtag save the second question. Thank you. And take care of yourselves.
Wow. He kind of took it. He took it hostage. He took it over.
Yeah. Well, you know, so that's a little inappropriate because I think we should be discussing these kinds of things, you know, off the air before he just goes ahead and just throws us under the bus like that.
That's what I'm talking about.
It was good though. I like
that. I don't really feel bad for you guys.
I was about to cut the mic.
I mean, you're gonna edit this anyway.
I'm the boss. That's why I get this slide.
I mean, you can edit this one, but I think you
should. Yeah. Come on. Keep the second question. Keep the second question. Right, keep the second,
question. Just this little diatribe. That was fun.
Do you actually have Jeremy books? Is that a thing?
Yeah, but they're not worth anything.
Did you make it up? Did he make it up?
He made it up, but it's real.
Okay.
It's just like little magic. You know,
yeah,
there you go.
I go, well, here, you want to work for me? And people are like, cool, like, I'll pay you Jeremy bucks.
I'm like, how come I never heard?
Yeah, you didn't get any.
You never asked.
You gotta ask for Jeremy bucks, they don't just come. So, someday I'm gonna have bucks, and then you guys are gonna be so pissed.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just gonna be like, throwing them around, buying tartar sauce at McDonald's. So today I watched a bunch of, speaking of what he just did.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Today I watched a bunch of like best quitting ever videos.
Yeah.
Because I was getting sucked into weird bill today.
Too tab.
And like I'll be mad about it and just do it forever anyway.
Yeah.
Like forget I was mad again. Be like, oh yeah, I'm good. Look at this guy beat up the other guy at McDonald's. he hit him with a Big Mac. So, they jumped the counter, dude. It's all crazy.
Wow.
Judy put on YouTube the other day, my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't put in fights in any word like I do when I'm Googling. Like anything, parking lot, church, daycare. You can just put that in and you get people fighting at anywhere.
Okay.
She puts in like cutest animal things.
Yeah.
And it's the best thing forever, and you can watch that forever.
Right,
right.
So now I got two things going on, both sides going on, where I have to switch it to the fights and then back to the, like a lamb riding a cat around or something.
is there a somewhere in between like cute things fighting? Is that like kitten fights?
All I gotta go. Needs. You gotta cut this off early. I got important stuff to do. So today, the quitting though, it was like people on the news quitting.
Yeah. Oh,
like for real, air. Like wah, like flipping the camera off and letting everybody know everything real quick, like he just did.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Yeah.
And they had it where they were interviewing people about it, because that's another thing now. It's like getting through the layers of everything. Like,
right. Yeah.
You watch this, watch the reactions to this video.
Right, right.
And everybody was like, wow, that guy really have, I guess, guts is the... Is that the word you can say on the radio?
Sure.
Yeah. Guts. Down low.
You really had a pair of guts.
Yeah, a big pair of guts.
Big old pair of guts.
Because that was the guy that wrote it on the signboard. You know, like change the letters.
On the news?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Change the letters on the signboard. No, at Arby's. That was Arby's. He was quitting Arby's. So that night he went up there and changed it. So it said some interesting things. It said, hey, Adam, I quit. Expletive. Yeah, expletive quit.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's like one of the first times I've ever self-edited. Can we stop and just acknowledge that for a second?
Have a pancake really quick. Celebrate.
Anyways, I didn't even need to talk about that. Who cares about who's quit?
I was going
to
say, when I lived in Tacoma,
yeah,
y'all know I lived in Tacoma a very long time ago, I worked at Borders Books and Music.
Yeah.
And I didn't think of this. This other guy that I worked with thought of it, but I quit before him and I stole it.
Ooh.
He quit. Yeah. it wasn't that kind of like blaze of glory kind of thing. It was more subtle. he had the idea of just going around and taking a bunch of the like stuff like, what's it called? Marilyn Manson or like Cannibal Corpse or any kind of like gross, like Satanistic kind of CDs.
Uh-huh.
We were working in the music department.
Right.
Right. Part, right.
Of course.
So all that stuff. And then taking the contemporary Christian CDs and swapping them. Oh. And so somebody would buy like an Amy Grant and they'd get like Cannibal Corpse music.
Wow. Instead of, like, oh my God.
I like
wow.
that.
Yeah.
It's like Satan take the wheel.
Yeah.
So I did that. I did that before I left and just spend an afternoon just swapping whenever I wasn't busy helping somebody. I would just be behind the counter, just take that out, put that one in, take that one out, put that one in, take that one out, put that one in.
Right. Oh, I'm so happy right now.
Like, bug orders, I'm done.
And here you go. Some emails from this.
Yeah.
I want to see what happened.
I know.
Yeah. But
well, so did somebody else buy like a, you know, a Cannibal Corpse
probably
CD was, and then they I got did. An Amy Grant CD in there?
Yeah, but I left, so I don't know. Yeah. I have to deal with the,
you know, like it goes both ways, so it's,
I was gonna, it's yeah, a exactly.
double burn.
It was definitely like, I hate both of these things. I'm going to piss off the people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both sides. CD and yeah. I'm
yeah.
out.
Exactly.
<I'll smack. laughs> It's a funny idea though. I like it.
So we got the weird beard. That was like,
wait, can I tell you real quick what I thought he was going to say?
Yes,
yeah. I realize now, just even seeing his mouth for a little while, you say like he's like a weird guy, and I got to hear him. I get it. He seems like a weird guy, and I appreciate it. It's my favorite. So, what the more obvious thing, which I'm glad he didn't go for it, but if you Google my name, we'll find photos. So I thought that he was gonna like.
And he's one of the guys that would find that. That's yeah, that's he's,
anybody can he's, do it. Like you Google my name.
Yeah, it comes up
on like a Google image search, and like you will find it.
Okay, weren't you in a naked band?
Yeah, because I used to play in a band that played naked a lot. So it's not
so
hard.
It's not hard.
That's what I mean. It's the very obvious thing.
Well, I think
if
maybe
if you Googled me and looked at an image search, you'd see it. And you know, there's times where people find it and they're like, "Hey, so you there's your dick's on the internet. What's that about?" You know, but I was really glad that he came up with something that I did not see coming at all.
Yeah.
That was nice.
He's very original.
Yeah.
Like yeah, it's hard to guess.
Yeah. In fact, when I said is his beard weirder than mine or is he weirder than me, mm-hmm. it's because I'm a little bit competitive about
the weirdness.
I mean, I'm like this guy.
Yeah. You're like weird.
You know,
yeah.
If you want to like send us some video questions for future okay. guests with some you weird stuff have, going on.
As long as I can get yeah, more, awesome. I want twice yeah. as many Jeremy Bucks as he
does. Ooh, 1,600 Jeremy Bucks.
And you want his dental
plan. Damn.
I want his teeth.
I want his teeth.
I need Jeremy Bucks and his teeth. And I'll do it.
What if we could get you one tooth?
That's fair. That's good.
That's good.
The candiest tooth out.
Candiest tooth there is, yeah.
Candiest tooth out there. I like that one. That's who's got the candiest tooth around.
That's the
Jeremy Gregory.
That's the truth. That's the truth. Around.
Just one. Imagine just one, like,
well, I'm gonna crazy get, one. I'm going to get these replaced with some crazy, like some ice cream looking, you know, something like
some swirls?
Yeah, something.
You're going to get teeth made ice cream?
Yeah,
candy corn.
I don't think that's okay.
Candy corn.
Wait a minute.
That's candy corn. Candy corn would work.
Wow.
Oh, so many. So right. cheap.
You don't even have to. Yeah.
Just put a new one in every
buy,
day.
Buy Dennis. A bag of candy corn. Whatever, Dennis.
I got like 100 of these idiot. In my pocket.
Idiot.
Just, I got some jelly bellies. I'm just going to put those in there.
Coconut.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, there's like a marshmallow one that's like pretty much looks like a tooth anyway.
Yeah.
Stick that in there.
I'll get the popcorn one just to be
yeah,
gross.
Popcorn.
Oh,
a little yellow on it. So.
A little yellow, too. Like, oh, your tooth's kind of It said a Jelly Belly on it. Why is your tooth say Jelly
taste
Belly?
Taste it. You like the popcorn one?
Taste it. You have so many tasty teeth.
You just flip it out. Just
spit it out into your hand and be like, here you go. Mm-hmm. Boots magic, boots magic, boots magic, boots magic.